Exactly. God, it's good to see your smiling face again. Huh? How are you? How was you were in action? You were in action this weekend. It's Andres Gonzalez. He's with us. He's going to be previewing the Masters. We'll be previewing the majors here on PuckSports.com. If you're watching there, also on YouTube, if you're listening to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and this is my favorite part, Dre, wherever you find your podcast, PuckSports.com. Andres Gonzalez is with us, and we're going to get to the sponsor and all this, but boy, I haven't talked to you forever. I haven't seen you forever. How's working for Golf Channel, PGA Tour Live, and Sirius XM, and God, you got your fingers and everything, man. It's unbelievable.
I'm trying to, man. Once I stopped playing, I was like, what do I got to do? What do I have to do to put some money in my pocket? And so I'm kind of putting my finger into everything. Good. This week I was down in Savannah. I was close to Augusta. I was thinking about maybe going over there right tomorrow, but my daughter turns 9 on Tuesday, and 9 is on Tuesday the 9th. She's made it very clear that's her golden birthday. So I'm heading home. I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be home for a couple of weeks, and then I'll get back on the road, and I will do the PGA Tour event, the Zurich, which is the team event. That's going to be a ton of fun. Yeah, covering that on PGA Tour Live down in the studios in St. Augustine.
So for again, let's go through the resume, everything that you're doing right now. I mean, I guess as maybe the paid professional host, I should like set it up all for you, but you are doing so much and you're so damn good at it. And you're like going to be bigger and better than anyone at this, but give everybody, all listeners. I know you were on the radio show with us last year. We went over it, but for people who don't know, give us a snapshot, everything that you truly are doing right now on all the platforms.
Yeah, so right now I am working for PGA Tour Live, which is owned by PGA Tour Entertainment. It is the entertainment company and the studio production company that the PGA Tour owns. It is streaming on ESPN Plus, is kind of how I first got my start. When I got done playing, I contacted Commissioner Monahan of the PGA Tour, and I also...
Wait a minute. What did you email him?
No, I called him on the phone. I was
you had his number?
Oh yeah, buddy. I was on the Player Advisory Council for all 5 years I played on the PGA Tour, and
really,
my last year I was the Player Advisory Chairman for the Korn Ferry Tour. So I knew Alex Baldwin also, who is the Korn Ferry Tour Commissioner. But I called both of them and just kind of told them that I was going to step away and kind of figure out something other than golf, because I was just beating my head against the wall and wasn't doing anything. With 3 kids at home, I was like, all right, I gotta get out of here. I gotta start getting a more consistent paycheck. But so working for PGA Tour Entertainment, I work for Sirius XM Radio also. I will be covering the US Open and the PGA Championship this year on course, but I do a lot of daytime talk golf radio, golf talk radio, yeah. I guess. And this week I'm working for the Golf Channel. We'll cover down here in Savannah, covering the Korn Ferry event, the Club Car Championship at the Landings Golf and Athletic Club. That was a mouthful each time I had to say it, but it was fun, man. It just ended. And right before I got on with you, I was downstairs with our production crew, all the camera guys and, mic ops guys. End of the week, everybody was down in the hotel lobby having some beer. I actually had a friend down there that's really into WrestleMania. It is happening right now. I don't know much about WrestleMania. I've been to some Monday Night Raws back in the day, but as far as everything else, was that a Masters Cup that I just saw you pull up?
Yeah, I got a Masters Cup. I'm wearing a Masters jacket.
What a flex.
I got a green jacket. Look at this is from a buddy's tournament that we, you know, D-Rob, you know, Darren. This is
buddy.
I mean, I got a Masters Cup 16. So the year I went, this is my favorite story about going to the Masters. My neighbor, 2016. So it was great, but it was terrible. So my neighbor is from Augusta, Georgia. So when they moved in like eight years ago, well, longer than that, like almost 10 years ago. The first thing when I find out that she's from Augusta, Georgia, I'm like, oh my God, you're from the Masters. And she's, you know, great. Oh yeah. We used to go all the time. We'd go to the Masters. My father has tickets, and so it turns out her dad has had, I think, 4 tickets since he was a sophomore at the University of Georgia. And Ben Kay is his name. And Ben Kay is probably 75. Yeah. So the first time he comes out, this is months after they moved in, and he's just exactly what you, he's a lawyer and from the South. It's exactly how you would imagine someone like him that would be. The seersucker suit, the slow, drawn out drawl, all of it, it couldn't be nicer. And we're talking, hanging out, and I just said at the end, you know, when we were kind of, you know, hanging out with him for the weekend, I just said, hey, if you ever have tickets, you ever want to part tickets away, let me know. And this was probably in like of 16, I want to say like February. A month later, I get a call out of the blue and it's him on the phone. It goes, Jason, this is Ben Kay, Elizabeth's father. I would, I'd just like to cordially invite you and a guest down to Augusta, Georgia for the 2016 Masters, if you can make it. This is probably like a month out or something of the tournament. I'm like, are you kidding? Because now I have two tickets for you if you want to go. So I had to, I'm like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so I had to put all my buddies like who wanted to go. I text out, I said, who wants to go? And most of them responded back, yeah. So I had to put everyone's name in a hat because I'm like, I'm not going to pick somebody. So I'm just, we'll let fate. So we did a hat and then out came my buddy Chris Bedoin. And we went to the 2016 Masters, which was a phenomenal Masters, except for on Sunday. Because if you remember, it was Jordan Spieth's going to go back-to-back, but he gets the number 12 on Sunday and puts it in the water and just falls apart. And do you remember who won it that year? Danny flippin' Willett.
Yep.
Danny, I'm sure Danny's a fine guy. But when you go there, I wanted to see a big-time star win, and especially Jordan Spieth, because at that time, he was the biggest star in golf. And he just fell apart, but it didn't ruin. It was phenomenal, just a phenomenal trip. So, yeah, cups, we just, you know, you drink about 1,000 beers, and you bring all the cups back. I mean, the beers, you've been there, right? You've walked the property and had fun.
I went there last year.
It's like a blast from the past, how cheap it is and just affordable. It's amazing.
It's like Disneyland when you walk in, too. Everything is so green. You just have the big white gates, and there's really no line because there's so many entries that you can go through that you just walk in. You give them whatever. You can't have any cell phones. It's
right.
It's very primitive in that situation, too, as far as when you're going and getting beers and you want to go and meet your friends, you're like, all right, we're meeting right here at 2:30. If you're not here, you're going to get lost. Like you will get ditched, but it's a phenomenal property. And the crazy part is how much land they have. It's a massive piece of property. And then all up Washington Street, Augusta National is just continuing to buy more and more property. And at some point, they're just going to own Augusta, I would assume. But making sure that there's parking for everybody as the tournament gets bigger and bigger. And just it's phenomenal. I'd love to see the numbers also that they pump out at that merchandise tent. It is incredible. Oh, my God.
You just go and you'll just hand over it. You just hand over your wallet. All right. So Andres Gonzalez is here, former PGA Tour player, PGA Tour Live now, also Sirius XM. You can find them everywhere. What's the X handle, Twitter handle now? What's the social media we're using?
Andres _ Gonzalez.
Yep.
And Instagram is Andres Gonzalez Golf.
Okay. There we go.
_ Gonzalez was taken.
It was taken. You couldn't get it. I hate when they take it and you can't get it. And his appearances, we will have him on for the Masters. We'll do the other majors as well. Brought to you by Pursuit Distilling Company. And this is a company, my friend, you've started yourself.
I have partners also. I didn't do this all on my own, but
can give you all the credit.
There you go. We're a family-owned distillery out of Enumclaw, Washington, found on Cole Street, and we have a tasting room there as well. So if you ever get a chance, you know, pick some up. We just came out with our first 6-year bourbon, and we're having a good time with it, man. It was a good matchup for me because, man, I like to get after it a little bit. I like to indulge.
Who doesn't? Go to pursuitdistilling.com. It's a great-looking website. Go check it out. You can find out all of their vodka, their gin, cold brew whiskey.
That's our biggest seller, man. You got to have a cold brew if you're up in the Seattle area, right?
That's right. They got the Barrel Club. There's events, contact tab. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook. PursuitDistilling.com. We'll bring you Dre with us as we talk a little Masters. We'll talk all the majors throughout here, the golf season. Getting back to Augusta, one thing that it blew me away going there for the first time was, and you kind of mentioned it, it's like when I watch it on TV or when I had watched it on TV and I was like, God, is it really that green? Like, is it really, is the pine straw really that brown and the colors really that white and all of it? I mean, it all just kind of pops out at you when you're there. And then you get there and you're like, yeah, it just really is. It is, you mentioned Disneyland. It is kind of, it's like that. It's an out of body experience because as golf fans and sports fans, you've been watching this tournament play out and it's the same place every year, the same holes, same everything. I know they make some changes, but it's like you already know the course, but then you get to actually go and walk around the course. And I think I'm not alone in this, and everyone probably says the same thing. I had no idea how hilly the course was from TV. I just no idea until you actually get there. And then you see it, and you're like, oh, my God. It's crazy how hilly it is.
I don't know if they make 3D TVs anymore, if that's still a thing. But in probably 2013, to get a new TV and – we had these 3D glasses, and that's the only time I've been able to tell it on camera. And that does it some justice. But, man, I was fortunate enough to caddy there for Ryan Moore, who's also a local Washington product out of Puyallup back in 2003. And I was 19 years old, and it was way hillier than you ever imagine. You hear people say that it's hilly, but you just don't really know. It is an up and down alpine course.
Yeah.
But as far as how green it is, there's not a blade of grass out of place. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous experience to walk outside the ropes, let alone inside of it. When I was able to walk inside of it, I thought this is absolutely spectacular. It's one of the best tournaments in the world with the best players in the world. It's a limited field. There's only about 90 players every year. And there's so much room to move around. It's spectacular, and it's awesome the way that they've built this into one of the best tournaments in the world, and it's invitation only. There's no qualifying, really. I mean, no. You can. They have their standards that they have where you can qualify if you're top 30 in the world or top 50 in the world now, I think. And that's just the way it goes. And then they get the opportunity to invite kind of whoever they want, which is a pretty – special power by them. We're like, nah, you're not coming.
They do whatever they want there. They don't care. I mean, they operate. It's just their own rules at that right. place, which is just it's weird. It is a real throwback. I mean, I just you go through there and you buy a couple beers and a sandwich, and it's like $8, and you're like, I can't even fathom like the prices. And and credit to them, they've been able to keep them at a pretty affordable cost for people going there for many, many years. All right, this is looking ahead now to this tournament. There's so much anticipation for this one because, I mean, we've been going through the whole LIV stuff now for over a year. But now it really feels, now John Rahm is a part of it. So now we have the guy who won the tournament last year, who put on the green jacket, now gets to come back, the defending champ now, but he's on the other tour now. It seems in the last year, you know, the moves that have been made, him going over there, they're at odds, but then all of a sudden they reach some agreement that they're going to work together, but then now that agreement really hasn't come to fruition, and the PGA Tour all of a sudden finds all this other money, this $3 billion of a you know, a bunch of billionaires coming together to fund them. And so there's uncertainty about it, of these two leagues. It feels like both players, both leagues, with the players on both sides are saying, God, this isn't good for golf to have it separate. We need to all kind of come together. So there's a lot of anticipation for this one based on kind of where we're at with LIV and the PGA. How much do you think what has happened here in the last year and a half has fractured the sport? Or do you think it hasn't fractured it at all?
As far as the players go, I don't think that they've really thought that. I think that they want to play together, but at the same time, it is what it is. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But for the fans, it's a big deal. You yeah. want to watch your favorite players, and they have – there have been a lot of them that have moved over there, from Dustin Johnson to Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau fans. Yeah, Cam Smith, John Rahm. Those are just five big names right there, and there's 40 other guys that are over there that are also, you know, guys that move the dial. So I don't think that anybody on the PGA Tour faults them for making career decisions, but at the same time, you want those players to make sure that you are elevated at number one in the world. They don't have world ranking points yet, so they're slowly all moving down. John Rahm, miraculously, has still remained in third in the world, which is incredible for not getting world ranking points, and the fact that he played so well that he's still up there. But if it's going to be the majors, I think that's a great thing, but it's going to be hard for guys to get into the majors if they don't have world ranking points. And I think that June 6th last year was kind of when they decided that they were going to start talking to the PIF fund and figure that, or the PIF group, and figure out if that was going to be something where they unite the players and create something. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if there's going to be a separate tour, but I agree with fans that I want to see all these guys play together a little bit more often than just four mm-hmm. times a year. And something's going to come about. They've got the Strategic Sports Group that just invested, I think, of 1.5 and then overall $3 billion in the next upcoming years. I don't know what the plan is and the business plan of the PGA Tour, what it's going to happen with that money. But it scares me a little bit because, I mean, everything that I hear, this PIF company or the PIF group is making, I don't know, $1 billion a day just in oil. So how is $3 billion going to do anything? I'm sure that there are intelligent people that have gone into thinking about the way that this is all going to break down. But as far as it comes down to, I want to see them play more tournaments than just four a year together. But it doesn't seem to me like it's getting any closer, the PGA Tour and the PIF, to coming to any kind of agreement.
I mean, I think that's just what fans want. I mean, I think it's – I would say that my interest – I mean, I love golf, and obviously, I mean, and so do you. You're covering it. You've been involved with it your entire life. I have found this year my interest in it has been waning a little bit, because you get to these tournaments and you're like, okay, it's like it really is lacking – true star power, like consistent star power. And you want to see the John Rahm, and I want to see Brooks Koepka play. And I want to see Cam Smith play. You know, you need a villain, right? So I miss Patrick Reed. You know, whether you hate him or you love him, you always kind of need a heel. You talked about wrestling earlier in the start of this. You kind of need a heel to it. Patrick Reed plays kind of that role. Sergio Garcia plays that role. And I don't think fans fault anybody for taking money, because I think if they were in that same position, they would do it. I just think what they're getting crushed by right now is, hey, we like the product. We like golf. We want to watch it, but we want to see the best players. You know, there was an image, I think, that circulated. I think it was the first event that Rahm played. I'm not sure if you saw it. And he's playing I don't know where they were at. I think they were in Saudi Arabia. Maybe it was one of the first events. And he's walking up he's playing his approach shot at 18. This is, at that time, I think he was the number one or number two player in the world. And he's hitting his approach shot. There's no one there. There's no one around the green. There's no one on the gallery. There's nobody. And I'm like, God, man, I know you got a lot of money. And I mean, life-changing, generational-changing money. But I guess, at what cost? At what cost do you look around and go, and this isn't it. This isn't like what, this doesn't get my competitive juices going. And then I think he made the comment, you know, I think when they were playing Pebble, how he missed playing Pebble. Like, God, I love that tournament. I wish I was there. And I just think, for the sake of the sport, those two groups, Dre, they just got to get together and figure it out, because, you know, who's getting hurt the most in this is us, the fans. We're being robbed of it because we don't get to see him play every week.
Right. And at the same time, as far as, let's say, how many people have gone there? 50? As far as the overall amount of people that play golf in the world, yeah, I want to see them all play. But in the end, you said that your interest is waning a little bit. I would argue that I think that it's kind of awesome because I like seeing all these young kids that are coming up. And maybe they're not stars right now, but they will become stars with a little bit more time. And that's where I'm liking. I'm liking all the kind of Cinderella stories that are coming out, especially for someone like me. I wasn't a superstar by any means, but I got a chance to taste a little bit of the PGA Tour, and it has given me my entire life. So it's cool to see, let's say, like the Valspar. It was fantastic to watch Peter Malnati win that. And the emotion that it shows when he gave his speech at the end of it saying, you know, there's 1,000 guys like me out there, and this is life changing for me. So this is my moment. And I think it's great. But as far as the guys that are still on the PGA Tour, you're going to start to see people that are going to win multiple times and that are still superstars in the game that will keep you interested. But I agree with you. You do need some heels, but there are some guys coming up on the PGA Tour that do have, some heel qualities. So I don't know. For the amount of people that play golf in the world, let's call it a lot of millions of people, to lose 50, even though a few of them are in the top 50 in the world, not all of them, but it just doesn't really bother me. You made your decision to go and play for a lot of money, but you also knew that there's a chance that you may never be able to play against the best players in the world. And I think that they were kind of fed some lies as far as saying that they were going to get world ranking points and that they were going to be all reunited, or at least by now. And I do think that that will happen, but it doesn't seem to me like it's going to happen anytime soon, because as far as June 6th last year, when the PGA Tour and the PIF announced that they were going to start working together and come to an agreement, this is 10 months later now, and we haven't gotten any closer. We have no more information. And to me, if you don't have it by now, or like any kind of actual inner workings or floor plan of what it's going to look like, I just don't think that it's getting any closer.
Well, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like they just can't get together. Let's get into the tournament. Let's look at the odds here. Scottie Scheffler, shocker, is the pre-tournament favorite right now, 4-1. Rory, of course, who was looking for this thing for the first green jacket, is at 10-1. Rahm comes in at 12-1. Koepka at 18-1. Xander Schauffele also at 18-1. And Jordan Spieth is at 22-1. Who do you like out of that group? Or maybe there's a player that I did not mention. But as we go into this, and they tee off on Thursday, it appears this has been Scottie Scheffler's world right now. I mean, he is on a Tiger run. He's the closest thing that we've seen to the Tiger dominance. What he's been doing this season. Is it as simple as just to say, Dre, this is his to lose?
I don't know if it's his to lose. He's still playing against 90 other guys, but I think that he's the hottest guy coming in. I mean, his last three starts, he won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He won the Players' Championship, and he finished in a tie for second at the Texas Children's Houston Open. That's four spots. First, second. His lowest finish in eight tournaments is 17th. The guy is an absolute freak of nature right now. We haven't seen odds like this since Tiger, like early 2000s, when you just expected Tiger to win everything. And if he didn't, he finished in the top 10. That's what Scottie's doing right now. And it's amazing to me that you hear players like Rory McIlroy and Max Homa and Xander Schauffele all say that if he just putts it halfway decent, we don't really have a chance because he's that much better at ball striking everybody, which is also amazing to me because his feet are moving around everywhere, but he just hits the ball on the button every single time. And his short game's good. It's incredible to watch him play. So I don't know if it's his to lose, but there's a reason that he's a 4-1 favorite playing against 90 guys. He's incredibly hot right now, and he's the best player in the world.
He is fun to watch. Rory McIlroy, I mean, this is going to be it. I mean, this is going to be the thing that, you know, when you discuss him when his career is over, and you don't want to be like, God, he was, you know, top 5 player ever to play, the top 10 player to ever play. but he's got to have this green jacket. What is preventing him from getting it? I would guess it's nothing physical, not the way that maybe he attacks the course. Is it just simply the scar tissue from what happened years ago with him and just the mental game of trying to win this one, which obviously means so much to him?
Yeah, I think it's just maybe a little bit of pressure. He obviously has every physical attribute that he needs. And he did something a little bit different this year. He played golf this week at the Valero Texas Open, finishing a solo third. So maybe that'll change something around. He usually doesn't play the week before the Masters. But golf is just that fine line of making sure that you're giving yourself every opportunity and trying, but at the same time, don't try past the point of caring too much. And so it's just a point of caring and not giving a damn and trying to find right in the middle. And then when you can start to really not care and just freewheel it, that's when players are going to play their best. You just kind of free up your mind. There's no extra thoughts of once there's a little bit of pressure on yourself, you start to think of what not to do, you know, as opposed to just what to do. So if you don't care, you're just looking and firing, and that's all he needs to do, because he's a freak to me.
He recently visited Butch Harmon. What do you think? And this is, I mean, he has his own swing coach, but he went out and sought the advice of Butch Harmon, of course, who's worked with the greats, and including, you know, Rory's idol in Tiger Woods. What do you think he was trying to glean from Butch Harmon leading up to the Masters?
Here's my opinion on Butch Harmon. There's a reason he's the best golf instructor in the world. And do you know what that reason is? It's because he works with the best players in the world. Like, he doesn't work with anybody that's not really good. And nobody's going there and revamping their entire swing. They're okay. Going there because he has a voice that when they leave talking to him, everybody there thinks that they can win when they leave. Okay. It's not all about swing. He may give you like a little swing thought here and there, but there's nothing changing the swing. The reason guys are really good is because they're just good. They've hit thousands and thousands of golf balls. They know that they're good. He told his daughter Poppy, Rory McIlroy told his daughter Poppy that he was going to go to Las Vegas for a couple days and get a lesson from Butch Harmon. And his daughter, I don't know how old she is, 3 or 4, says, "But Daddy, you already know how to play golf." And he said that may have been the best advice that he's gotten in the last 10 years. But he's going there to listen to what Butch Harmon has to say, because he's more of a golf whisperer more than an actual swing instructor.
Do you think that's what he needs, especially with this tournament? Does he need something like that rather than somebody telling him, you know, some physical mechanics with his swing? Just he needs somebody in his head?
Have you seen the guy swing the club? He's like 5'9". Yeah. He's itty bitty.
I know.
And he's the longest guy on the tour. He's doing just fine. He has every physical trait, but it's a matter of just freeing up his mind. I don't know if he works with a mental coach. I don't know what he does as far as how he trains. I've seen him hit balls on the range and I'm like, yep, that's pretty good. But as far as mine, that's all that matters at the PGA Tour level. There's so much posturing in a PGA Tour locker room that nobody wants to give in saying that anybody's better than them. That's the biggest thing. If you go into the PGA Tour week thinking that you're going to win, you've got a pretty good chance of winning. But if you go in there and be like, I'm struggling with this, I'm not doing this very well, yeah, beat it. You may make the cut, you may be able to compete, but for the most part, like, you're going to have a tough time winning.
That's the voice of Andres Gonzalez. It's brought to you by Pursuit Distilling Company. Check out PursuitDistillingCompany.com. We're previewing the Masters, which gets underway this week. You know, one of the big storylines last year was how would all the live guys do? You know, they're not playing a full field. It's 54 holes. It's not the same competitive environment. And then all they did was come out and they dominated the thing. I mean, all of them did. They were great. And obviously you had Brooks Koepka, who had a chance to win it. You had Phil Mickelson finish high. They did not seem to be bothered at all. From not playing on the PGA Tour or not even playing 72 holes. Do you expect something similar to happen this week? And just go back to last year. Why do you think that was the case? Is it simple answer? Is they're just all good players and it doesn't really matter?
Yes, I think that they're all very good players. And I don't know. I think it we'll see a little more of a drop this year. That's just my prediction. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I think that it might, because they are playing less events. But my argument on the other side of that would be is that they all still practice with the same players. All these players, they're not losing friendships over it, going and making them a business decision. Yeah. They see them at courses in Scottsdale. They see each other at courses in Dallas. They see each other at courses in Jupiter, Florida. They all still practice and play at the same courses, but they play in different circuits, and they're all wondering the same thing. When are we all going to play together again? Now, some of the PGA Tour players may be a little bit hurt that guys left and kind of fractured the game a little bit. But at the same time, I think a lot of the LIV players are probably a little hurt that they aren't getting world ranking points yet. And they're still some of the best players in the world, especially when they're playing money games each week. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as them playing against each other, they're still getting a fair amount of competition, and they're still seeing very high levels from both sides of it, PGA Tour and LIV, that guys are going to come out and play, but we'll see. They're not playing in this type of environment every single week, and they're not playing in front of big crowds anymore. So that's the only thing, is that it may be a little bit of a shell shock, but they've all done it in the past. So they may just slip right back into their old ways.
Okay. So we've talked obviously about Scheffler, and we've mentioned Rahm, and we went through over the favorites in this thing, Xander Schauffele. Is there somebody that's a little off the radar that you like this week that you think is a sneaky good pick, like kind of a dark horse pick leading up to the Masters?
I don't know if he's really a dark horse. He's number 9 in the world, Ludvig Åberg.
Okay. But
at the beginning of 2023, he was outside of the top 3,000 in the world. He was an amateur, turned pro, and it immediately started doing pretty well. Led the PGA University off of, to get onto the PGA Tour out of Texas Tech. Did pretty well in the summertime. Ended up going to Europe, winning on the DP World Tour. Goes to the Ryder Cup, wins the Ryder Cup. Absolutely destroyed Brooks Koepka. And space. It doesn't even matter who Brooks was on Brooks's team, but they won like 9-8. And then goes out and wins the last tournament of the year over at the RSM in Sea Island, Georgia. The guy is an absolute, I feel like he was built in a lab. He's 6'3". He's got a perfect golf swing. It doesn't look like he swings out of his shoes, but he still bombs it. Mm-hmm. And he just has a different gear going. Now, here's what is working against him, though, is that this is his first Masters. Not only is it his first Masters, it's his first major, period. So but he just doesn't seem to be the guy that really gets that deer in the headlights look. He looks like he's ready to go, and I just don't know what golf course on the planet doesn't fit his game.
Okay. All right. Keep that in mind. All right. There's a few other things here before we wrap it up. What did you make? You know, Justin Thomas, and it was detailed in Full Swing. I mean, it really, for him, it's been a struggle for him really the last year and a half or so there for Justin Thomas. What do you make of the split there with Bones McKay? Is this what happens for PGA Tour players? Hey, let's just change it up. We need something different, more there. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. As far as if you're going to make a change, you're not going to change the player. What else are you going to change? You're going to change the swing coach. You're going to change the sports psych. Maybe the caddy. I mean, those are the things that you're going to change. You're not changing the player. I'd be a little more worried if you switched agencies or your agent, maybe, just because those are the guys helping you do all your business. But for the most part, I don't think that there's any animosity towards Bones. I don't think that Bones holds anything against him. It's part of the business, and that's the way it is. He would have loved to have been together for the rest of their tenure, but they just haven't been winning. And they got a major. They won the 2022 PGA Championship, but as of late, he hasn't quite been himself. He's played all right, though. He's made 5 of 7 cuts. He's had a tie for third. Yeah, as a captain's pick, it was a pretty controversial pick to take Justin Thomas because he didn't earn his way and he wasn't really showing any signs of life. But I just think his tenacity and his hatred of losing is what you want in the locker room. And I think that's really what it is. I don't, I'm more interested to see, have you seen who he's hired?
I have not seen.
I don't know either. I'm more interested to see where he goes there.
What's the one stat you're going to look at the most this week and just kind of follow when it starts on Thursday? Where do your eyes go first?
Greens and regulation. I think it's so difficult at that course with how undulated the greens are and around the greens, the way that they have fall offs. And the chipping can be pretty difficult with greens running away if you shortside yourself. That I think that if you are leading in greens and regulation, that you're probably going to have a pretty good chance at the end of it. And I think that's one reason that I think Scottie Scheffler is so high up there. He's just the best ball striker in the world, bar none.
All right. I don't know if you saw this. Well, I'm sure you did. One of your heroes that you used to go after, or at least try to engage on social media early on in your career, Tiger Woods, giving up sex ahead of the Masters. Could you, Andres Gonzalez, be that disciplined to do that?
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, I've been married for 15 years. I don't think it's going to be that difficult, right? it's been a while.
Pretty easy give up.
Yeah. Are we giving up everything or just sex with another person?
Probably just sex with another person.
Right.
Yeah, Tiger, huh? That's the secret for Tiger, huh? Give it up.
Yeah, we'll find out. Maybe he's just trying to get into a zen state. I never thought I would say this, but he's down to 950th in the world.
Wow. So
searching for something and maybe just trying to get it. He's won this tournament 5 times, though. The last time being 5 years ago in 19, he knows how to play this place. And as far as also winning 82 PGA Tour events and 50 other times worldwide in his career, it's not going to take much to get him into a state where he thinks he can win. And it's just a matter of, does he stay healthy? Because he's only played one event this year and he withdrew in the second round of the Genesis Invitational in LA back in, was that February? But we'll see. I mean, he's somebody that's going to move the dial all the time and he's dangerous all the time.
Okay. Favorite hole on the golf course?
Ooh, that's a good question. You should have prepped me for that.
I'm going to catch you off guard.
Probably hole 11. Par 4, dogleg right. One, you have to hit a good drive, and even when you hit a good drive, downhill, water on the left with a mid to long iron, it's just really, really hard. I don't think it's going to bring a lot of fireworks as far as birdies just because it's that difficult. But I like the way that it sets up, and it rewards really good shots. As far as shots that I like that are birdieable and that you're going to see a lot of fireworks on, probably 15, because everybody in the field can get to it in two. And yeah, you can see threes and you can see doubles. If you just leave it short, that's going to roll back into the water. I think that you'll see a lot of different things there. My favorite hole is 11 and probably hardest the most hole, fun you think? Hole. Hardest hole.
What do you think the hardest hole is?
Probably number 4 or 5. Four when they play it, and they play it all the way back.
Is that the par 3 one?
That's the par 3, man. That thing plays.
That's 240 something yards.
Yeah. 240 yards, and then the next hole, number 5, Magnolia, they call it, is 495 yards, and man, that's a long hole too. It's just if you don't get it to the top of the hill, you just have a blind shot, and you can't even see the trees on the other side, so you're just hitting into the sky, and it's just a guessing game. So those two, and once you get to the green on 5, also, like, it's super undulated. If you're not on the top tier, you're absolutely screwed. It's a fun course to watch.
Okay, you said your favorite, like 11. Do you have a favorite spot as just a patron? You have if you're going to give advice to people going out there, like, hey, this is, you got to post up here. This is where you're going to watch it. Because I think for me, it's that corner, that little triangle of 16, 6, and 17. Because it has that 16. Little, there's the snack yeah. bar that's right there. You can yeah. watch 16. You get to see 6, the little par 3, and then you get to see them tee off on 17. And then like you can, and that's like a good little party atmosphere in there. I mean, 12 is awesome. The backdrop of 12 is great. That's like phenomenal back there. But you have a favorite one? Do you have like where you like to post up, or would advise people to post up at?
I like that too. I like behind the tee box on 16, because there's that little yeah. concession area. It's right near number 14 tee box, and then you can watch second shots come in on 15. But I couldn't agree with you more. You've got to make sure that you stay close to the concessions, because you're running out of beer quickly, and you need those souvenir cups.
Dude, you go through them so fast. What do you like, the chicken sandwich, or do you enjoy the pimento cheese sandwich?
I will have one pimento cheese. I'll have one a day, but I'm usually
I like you were going to be like, I have one like when I'm there.
Oh no, like one a day.
I have one a day. I thought you were like one per nine.
No, but I'll probably have 5 egg salad sandwiches while I'm there. One pimento, okay. And then the egg salad is my go-to.
That's your jam.
The chicken. It's all right. It just doesn't do anything for me. If it's the only thing there, trust me, I'll eat that too. But okay. I'm there for the beer and the egg salad.
You got to put that on a t-shirt. I'm there for the beer and the egg salad. That's Andres Gonzalez. You can catch all of his work, Sirius XM Radio, PGA Tour Live. You can follow him on social media on Twitter at Andres_Gonzalez. He's going to be with us throughout the golf season talking majors, all brought to you by Pursuit Distilling Company. We've kept you too long. I know you got to get some sleep. Get back to your daughter. Travel safe back to the Seattle-Tacoma area. And happy birthday to your daughter.
No, I appreciate it. We got to get you out up at Tacoma Country and Golf Club with D-Rob. We'll get out on the golf course and
anytime. There. Appreciate it, Dre. We'll talk soon. We appreciate listening, watching PuckSports.com, also on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. As always, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we promise to be better.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you, but you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!